church say amen. Amen. Wow. What a blessing. I haven't stood in this place in 7 months. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I am so excited to be here today. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm glad to see that God sent me some peoples. Thank you, Jesus, for family and friends. So today, for our time together, our text will come from the scripture that Brenda read for us in Genesis. And the subject is a pouring out place. A pouring out place. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Come and make your presence known. Come, God, and prepare us to hear a word from you. I want to thank you, God, for your grace that you so generously give. I ask, God, that you would empower your word, that as I speak it, your people will receive power from on high, that the word will change our actions and our thoughts, that the word will transform our lives, and that you'll be pleased with the sacrifice that we offer to you today through our worship service. So Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Come, Lord, and fill me, the messenger. I can't do it unless you equip and empower me. So right now, Lord, I humble myself before you and say, use me, Lord, as you see fit. All of the honor, all of the glory, and all of the praise belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. A pouring out place. In the Bible, there are many, many references to rivers. And these rivers can be divided into several categories. And even though it's the same word, the word has different meanings, and the word illustrates different things that God desires to communicate to us. So sometimes when you see the word river, it represents a source of sustaining life. Other times when you see the word river, it's a word that means that there is salvation and deliverance that takes place at the river. Then you may see the word again, and it means that it's a geographical location where a special event took place. And then you may see it again, and it means that there was a divine encounter between God and humans at this location. And the word encounter means an unexpected experience. So if you encounter God at the river, it's going to be an unexpected experience. And so our story today has Jacob. And Jacob is standing at the river of Jabbok. That word means pouring out. The Jabbok River is halfway between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. And it pours out into the Jordan River. So Jacob is standing at the place of pouring out. He's standing at a river that's a source of life. He's standing at a river where there's going to be salvation. He's standing at a river where he's going to encounter the living God. He's at the pouring out place. Now Jacob is an heir to the covenant that God made with Abraham and Isaac. His name means supplanter. He's a trickster. He's a liar. He's a schemer. He's self-centered. He's self-supporting. He's self-sustaining. He's self-preserving. It's all about Jacob and nobody else. Jacob is known for using people. All of his life, he used people. And he would wait till their weakest moment and he would take advantage of them with tricks and schemes and lies. He's known for circumventing the rules and the regulations. He's known for covering outside the line. He's known for doing his own thing. He's known for thinking to himself. He's known for being witty and clever. He's known to just sit down and plot schemes. But the scripture tells us, here he stands at the pouring out place, the river of Jabbok. All of Jacob's life, he's had struggles and wrestles. His life is cluttered with confusion and chaos. When he was in his mother's womb, he grabbed his brother's heel because he wanted to be the firstborn, not the secondborn. So even in his mother's womb, even before he took a breath outside of his mother, he was scheming and plotting in his mother's womb. And then the scripture tells us that when he got older, he schemed and he plotted with his twin brother to steal his birthright. This Jacob is crazy. He waits for people to be vulnerable and he pounces. And to make things worse, him and his mother schemed and plotted against his daddy so he could get the blessing that was not for him. The blessing was for his brother. But since he colors outside of the line and insists he does whatever is necessary to get his way, he schemed. Now, to make things worse, then he runs to his uncle's house. And there he schemes and he plots and he lies and he cheats and he's being Jacob. Everywhere he goes, he's Jacob. Now, to make things worse, his wives are wrestling with each other to see who can have the most babies and who could send in the most handmaidens. And Jacob is in the middle of all of this confusion. And all of his life, he's been surrounded by wrestling, by scheming. And the scripture says, now he's standing at the pouring out place. The place where he's going to have an unexpected experience with the living God. Jacob had run from his father's house to Laban's house, almost 200 to 500 miles away, running from fear, running from guilt, running from shame, running from scheming, and running to save his life. Well, he gets to Jacob's house, and he lives there for some 20 years. And whole 20 years, Jacob is being Jacob. He's still lying. He's still scheming. He's still tricking people. He is still being Jacob. Well, one day, Jacob gets this message from God. Jacob, I need you to go home. Your destiny is not here. Your destiny is back in Canaan. And I need you to get up and go home. Well, Jacob being Jacob, he heard God told him to go home, but he said, before I leave, I need to do one more scheme. I need to do one more plot. And so he schemes against Laban. So he's running from home to Laban. He gets to Laban, and now he's got to run back home. So he's running with fear behind him. He's running with fear before him. He's running from his brother. He's running from his daddy. He's running from Laban. And guess what? He's running from himself. And he's going to run right into God at the pouring out place. Church, Jacob's scheming had served him well for many years. He was prospering. He looked like everything was going okay. He looks like everything was going his way. It looked like all of his lying and scheming was paying off. But I need you to know, church, that there's going to come a day and a time when you cannot run far enough. Sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with your issues. Sooner or later, you're going to deal with your fears and your paranoia. Sooner or later, you're going to deal with your anxieties and your grief. Sooner or later, you're going to run out, and Jacob is standing at the pouring out place. running, but he can't hide. Running for his life, but he's got to go home. But he's got to run into Esau. And it's been years since he saw Esau. It's been years since he's tricked him. And Jacob is full of fear. Fear that Laban is going to catch him and kill him. Fear that when he meets Esau, he's going to kill him. He is just full of fear. And he has run out. So here what Jacob does. Jacob is still self-sustaining. He has plot A. Let me buy off my brother. So he sends all of these gifts. Now, he doesn't take them himself. He sends them by a messenger. And he has a rehearsed speech for him to tell his brother. Tell my brother this. Tell him I'm successful. Tell him I got wives and children. And I'm sending him all of these gifts because he's trying to soften the blow before he meets Esau because he's scared. Now, Laban caught up with him, and him and Laban worked out their issues, and they ended by saying, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from the other. So he's got Laban's issues taken care of, but he still got to go home because God said, go home. So his plan A is to bribe his brother. Well, he sends the gifts, but he's still afraid. So he has a plan B. His plan B is to pray. Plan A was to do it his way. Plan B was to pray. So here he is at the pouring out place, still being Jacob, still leaning to his own understanding, still being selfish, still looking out for number one. So he prays, but pay attention because he didn't pray when he left home. He didn't pray when he was tricking his brother. He didn't pray when he lied to his daddy. He didn't pray while his wives were sending all of them women in for him to sleep with. He didn't pray when he was stealing from Laban. He hadn't prayed. But now he's run out. Now he has no more game. Now he's not confident in his own will anymore. He's not confident in his own strength anymore. So his plan B is, Jacob, you need to pray. But now his prayer is recorded as one of the longest prayers in the Old Testament. And his pattern of prayer is worth us looking at. Because when he prays, the first thing he does is he reminds God of the promise that he made to Abraham and Isaac. So it's not like he hadn't heard of God. It's not like he didn't know God's word. He was just being Jacob. But here at the pouring out place, he begins to remember God's promise. Here at the pouring out place, he becomes transparent with God. He actually humbles himself and says to God, look, I'm afraid my brother's going to kill me. I need your help. He begins to confess to God what he had not confessed before because he's here. At the pouring out place, he's pouring out what's in him that needs to come out. Here at the pouring out place, he's humbling himself. He's coming down off his high horse, and he's humbling himself, and he's calling upon the name of the Lord. And for the first time, he can admit that he's a conniver, he's a schemer. But God, I need your help. Y'all, he had run out at the pouring out place. And the last thing he does in his prayer is he recalls that God had made him a personal promise. When he was at Bethel and the angels were ascending and descending, God spoke to him and God told him, I will be with you, I will bless you, I will watch over you, and when you come back to this place, I'll give you the land. But you know what happened? Jacob was still Jacob. So Jacob is trying to bribe God. So he say, if you do what you said you're going to do, then I will claim you as my God. Now, that's what he said at Bethel. But he's at the pouring out place now. He can't bribe God. He's not trying to bribe God. He just trying to be as transparent as he can because he needs help. And so he said, God, remember, you told me you would be with me. You told me you would watch over me. So now that he's at the pouring out place, now that his focus is on God and not on Jacob, God's words are beginning to come back to him. So you saw in the video, it said that when we encounter God, there are going to be trials. There's going to be God's presence. There's going to be God's power. And there's going to be God's word. Well, God's word is always going to show up when you run out at the pouring place. So he prays that prayer as sincere as he can. And you would think that that solved the problem. You would think that that prayer calmed his fears and everything was okay. But church, it wasn't. Jacob, when he prayed, was still Jacob. So he's prayed that prayer, but he's wondering if that prayer is going to work, so he has a plan C. Ah, Jacob. Jacob is still in the dark. Jacob is still standing at the river, a source of life, a source of God's presence, a source of deliverance. But his plan C was, let me put my wives over here, put my children over here, and divide my possessions just in case my brother shows up and he's still angry. So he had a plan A. He had a plan B. He took it to God. Being true to himself, the grabber, he grabbed it back, took it back into his own hands, and there he stands in the dark at the river, at the pouring out place. And the scripture says that in the dark at night, at the pouring out place, a man comes and wrestles with Jacob. Well, I looked at that and I looked at that, and it tells me that Jacob did not initiate that fight. God initiated that fight. And the scripture says they wrestled all night long. You know what that's like when you can't sleep at night. You know what that's like when you toss and turn. You know what it's like when you look at the clock and the hands are not moving. You know what it's like when you get up and pace the floor and then go back to bed. You know what it's like to wrestle all night long. And the scripture says God allowed Jacob to wrestle. Even though Jacob had promises, even though God had made him promises, even though he was the heir to the covenant, God allowed him to wrestle all night long, because in his wrestling, he is pouring out. He's pouring out his selfishness. He's pouring out his flesh. He's pouring out his warped understanding. He's pouring out his deceitfulness. He's pouring out all of the tricks. He's working, you know, the scripture says, work out your own salvation. He's getting rid of all of that. And God allows him to wrestle all night long. Well, the scripture tells us that daybreak is coming. Jacob is still wrestling with God, but God said, Jacob, I got to go. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go. So God says, here's what we're going to do. He touches Jacob's thigh. And when he touches his thigh, it dislocates a joint. Well, now Jacob was wrestling, but when he got that pain from that touch, he's weakened now. He can't stand on his own now. He's about to fall and stumble because God has made him limp. And now, instead of wrestling with God, he's clinging on to God for life and death. Because if he doesn't, he's going to fall. He has to cling to God because he can no longer rely on his strength and his understanding. He is forced now to rely on God. So here at the pouring out place, he goes from wrestling to clinging. Church, 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 church. God is not going to ever let us satisfy our flesh. You can wrestle and wrestle, but one thing you need to know, you cannot bribe your way into heaven. You cannot bribe your way into God healing you. You cannot scheme to God to get favor. You cannot trick God into letting you in heaven. You going to have to. You're going to have to pour it out. You're going to have to pour out all that's in you that's not of God. And so God touched him, and he stopped wrestling, and he started clinging. At the pouring out place, Jacob got a new name. At the pouring out place, Jacob got a new nature. At the pouring out place, Jacob got a new character. At the pouring out place, Jacob got a brand new walk. He don't walk like he walked no more. He don't talk like he talk no more. He don't think like he think no more. Because he had an unusual encounter with the one and true living God at the pouring out place. And lastly, he got the blessing that God wanted to give him freely when he humbled himself that he could not pay for on his own. Church, as children of the living God, you and I, like Jacob, inherited that covenant and that promise. God has made us some promises. But if we continue to act like Jacob and lean to our own understanding, if we continue to use people and manipulate people, if we continue to disobey God's word, if we continue to ignore what God tells us to do, if we continue to only think about self, we will find ourselves running for the rest of our lives until we run into the pouring out place. God desires for us to lean and depend on him. There's no other power like God's power. There's no other presence like God's presence. There's no other provision like God's provision. So there at the river of Jabbok, Jacob got a new life. He experienced the presence and the power of God that transformed him for the rest of his life. So I came to say to you today, wherever you are listening to me, if you are running, you're gonna run out. And you might as well make up your mind to run to God. Because if you run to God and confess, as Jacob did, God is there. He's waiting to change you, to give you new life. Abundant life. When Jacob had that encounter at the pouring out place, church, he was able to go home in peace, in prosperity, and live out his ordained destiny. God had a plan for him, and it was not at Laban's house, and it was not while he was running. It was for him to empty himself so he could come back and become Israel and lead God's people home to God. Church, God desires to get us home. This ain't our home. And if you're running, you need to run into God. If you're running, you need to stop right now. So what I want to do is ask Keith to give me some soft music. And to all of those listening to me, I want to give you a moment of prayer where you, like Jacob, can pour yourself out before Almighty God. Admit that you've been relying on your own strength. Admit you've not been keeping his promises. Admit you've not been trusting him. And I guarantee you that right now and right here, this can be your pouring out place. Right now and right here, God can give you a new mindset. God can give you power like you never had power. God can give you peace like you never had peace. Just pour out your flesh and receive the Spirit. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And you just pour out before God. Maybe you're listening to me today and you don't know God's promises. Maybe you are listening to me and you've heard about the God we serve. You've heard about Jesus, the Son of the living God. But you haven't had an encounter with him. I invite you right now to pray this prayer with me. And just simply say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus was born to come and save a sinner like me. I believe he died on the cross and shed his blood that I could have salvation and have eternal life. I believe that you rose him from the dead and gave him all power. I desire now to trust him as my Savior. I desire to follow him as the Lord of my life. I desire to cling to him for the rest of my life. I accept his power, his anointing, his grace, his mercy, his love, his provision, and his protection. So right now, I humble myself and confess I need a Savior. Lord, please forgive me of my sins. And I trust and believe, God. And I've heard you say that my sins will be forgiven. So I thank you, God, that right now, I receive Jesus as my Savior. If you prayed that prayer honestly and you believed it, I welcome you to the body of Christ and to the family of believers. And I'm convinced that God heard your prayer, received your prayer, and you now have salvation. So cling to him for the rest of your life. And whenever you feel tempted, pour yourself out at the pouring place. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen.